What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys, Cap.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Cap it off.
Were you a big Steve Irwin fan growing up?
No.
Are we talking about the guy that, the crocodile
hunter? Crocodile hunter.
G'day, I'm Steve Irwin.
He was the greatest. He had such enthusiasm for his job, for his life.
Wow, do you see that? That's the biggest bull male.
And then he was taken away.
A guy like that, you would think he would have been eaten by a shark, like a stingray gotcha.
I mean, he would grab a snake that would kill an ordinary man, and he would just tame that snake, and he could stare into the eye of a lion and disarm the lion.
Those tusks are thick as my wrist.
This is a look inside of David Hall right now. You loved it, Irwin.
Listen, there was a time frame when my son was between probably 3 and 6. He's 14 now. Animal Planet and SpongeBob.
Really?
That was basically what we watched at home.
Ooh, who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Nothing better than a Steve Irwin, followed up by SpongeBob.
You shed a little tear for Irwin when he went down.
Shocking news
it was,
at the time.
It really was.
G'day, I'm Steve Irwin.
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Bolchek stole it, scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going to ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap and Haw on the air at Comcast, Sportsnet, and WGN+. I'm David Kaplan. Mark Carmen in for David, who'll join us from California. He's there covering games 1 and 2 for the Blackhawks-Ducks series. Mike Jacobson, our great executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. Pat Costell is our director. Morning there. Sparkles, what's up?
Welcome back there, David. How was your trip? I know everybody wants to hear your Blackhawks thoughts, but you were on the Bourbon Trail. I'm kind of fascinated by how you're...
Yeah, for a couple days.
I mean, that's a big move for you. Bourbon Trail cap. Just
down in Kentucky.
Did you feel out of sorts down there?
No, not at all.
Really?
Fit right in.
Just jumped right in there, huh?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Loved it. Woodford Reserve, Maker's Mark, Wild Turkey. Hit them all. Hit three of them.
You have a favorite?
Woodford Reserve.
Really?
Not even close.
Really?
Yeah.
You could tell the difference? Like,
yeah.
if we lined them up in front of you right now, you think you could do it?
Yes.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yes. There's no question.
Okay.
Now, if you gave me 4 really high-end ones, maybe not. But I could pick Woodford Reserve from Wild Turkey.
Were you, like, lifting them up and looking at the lighting consistency?
Was. Absolutely.
That's impressive. See, yep. I'm a simple guy. What kind of wine do you want? The red one.
You're ridiculous.
Summertime white.
All right, we got.
How about the bourbon? What do you got? You got a bean back there? Maker's, Jack, whatever you were just talking about. It's all
Woodford
the same.
Woodford Reserve.
Okay.
Double Oak. Yep. Good stuff.
Well, congratulations. Fred.
Thank you.
Glad,
all right, coming up on the show, D-Haw will join us live from Anaheim at 9:40. Mark Lazarus will join us from out there as well at 10:40. And our guy, Todd Hollinsworth, former Cub outfielder and Cubs pre-post with me on CSN, MLB Network radio host. He joins us at 11:10 to talk about the Cubs over the homestand and the White Sox, who have gotten hot at the right time, needed to get hot, and swept Oakland for the first time in 18 years out west. Much needed. They are 17-17 and at least back to .500.
Yeah, it's exciting that baseball looks like it's going to be relevant for hopefully well into the playoff race. We'll see. It's good to see the Sox get back, and Cubs had a great homestand. I was actually out there yesterday, so maybe the bad luck I perhaps brought them, but no shame in losing the final game of and winning 6 of them and going out on the road. We'll see how they do, but... Although your guy Chris Bryant yesterday, I was a little miffed. He left the game in the middle of it with dehydration.
He was sick.
I don't know. If you're good enough to start the baseball game, I feel like it's, a stress of a base. We got the hockey playoffs going on right now. Guys are pulling out teeth.
It's totally different. It's different.
First
of all, they're in the playoffs. This is the regular season. You play 162 of these versus trying to win 16 playoff games. It's a totally different vibe.
Listen, I know that they named the bleachers after him, and he's going to be the greatest player in the history of the franchise and will end up in the Hall of Fame. But, I was excited being at the park. I wanted to see Bryant, crucial at bats late in the game, and to learn that he left with dehydration. I see Herrera go out there to third base. I had to get on Twitter and check out what was going on. I just missed a little bit of Chris Bryant. I'm glad he wasn't really hurt, but kind of wondered what Chris Bryant was doing on his Saturday evening, dehydration.
You're unbelievable.
I'm just saying, that just seemed odd to me. I'm sure he's Chris Bryant. He's perfect, so has to be a real illness.
Didn't feel well.
Okay.
312-235-2525. 312-235-2525 is our number. Did you watch the Blackhawk game yesterday? For at least two periods, the Hawks clearly dominated play, yet the Anaheim Ducks are the ones finding the back of the net. David Rundblad had a rough game, and it made a couple nice plays, but two turnovers that led directly to goals. And then Patrick Kane got stopped on a sick save by Frederik Andersen. Sick. I don't know how he got the paddle of his stick on the puck, deflected it over the net. That was a key play.
It wasn't a good sign when you play as well as you played in the first period and be down a goal. That wasn't great. And when everybody, not even the, you know, the diehard David Kaplan Blackhawks fans, when everyone's aware that you're terrible, like David Rundblad was yesterday, like your complete casual hockey viewer, that's not a good thing if you're David Rundblad. And that was the second goal in particular was extremely rough.
The Palmieri goal?
Yeah. Is it Palmieri or Palmieri?
Palmieri. It's Palmieri.
Yes, we're learning these guys, the third line of the Ducks.
Kyle Palmieri. That goal was a bad goal. Bad goal. You can't give those up in the playoffs. Anyway, 312-235-2525. They go back at it tomorrow night, game two. Look, you win tomorrow, and you come back home with home ice advantage.
Yeah, of course, if they win tomorrow. But, I mean, let's look at what happened here.
Anaheim 6-0 in the playoffs so far at home.
Yeah, and they're 9-1 overall. I mean, you're talking about, and you had the best record in the Western Conference, and you've got 25-year-old Freddie Andersen. I'm going to call him Freddie, Captain. Do you mind if I go Freddie for him?
You can go with a Freddie. Okay.
The Danish netminder. He's, you know, getting up, walking up to the podium saying, "We knew we could beat this team." I'm like, easy there, Freddie Andersen. This is the Chicago Blackhawks you're talking about.
But they had the best record in the West, so they should feel that way.
No, and they should. But I don't. Saying it, and then Ryan Kessler said the same thing. I mean, these guys, they're not playing around out there. I'm. The rhetoric after the game was a little bit surprising to me. It was a little more confident than I thought the Ducks would be. And listen, you get that type of performance out of your third line, get a couple goals. They had scored three, you know, in the first two series of the playoffs. They get two yesterday. I mean, they have reason to be confident. I get it, but I'm interested in the response Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if Kyle Komiski will play over David Rundblad.
Would you do that?
I mean, it's not like Kyle Komiski is Paul Coffey at age 25 here.
Right.
I mean, he's Kyle Komiski. It is what it is.
I mean, this is visions of Sheldon Brookbank back in, 2013 against the Kings. He was brutal, and then Q yanked him, said, no more, bud. And then he, you know, came back the following year. But
I just don't think, and I said this to David, he disagrees with me, I don't think you can win a Stanley Cup with four defensemen.
Okay.
You play 5 minutes of Kimmo Tiimonen. 5 minutes.
73 seconds in the third period for Kimmo.
I said at the start of the playoffs, did I not, Mike? That was my biggest thing. The biggest concern was their lack of depth defensively. We'll find out. Maybe I'll be proven wrong.
Duncan Keith, 28-25. Seabrook, 26-57. Oduya, 22-29. Jalmerson, 20-10. And then you had Rundblad playing just over 10 and Kimmo playing 5.
And if you watch that game again, just put the tape on and watch it. The Ducks, make sure they get an extra shot in on every hit. Boom! They make sure you feel it. By the time this series is over, if the Hawks are fortunate enough to advance, if, they're going to be a tired group.
Did you see, was it Kessler who killed Seabrook into the boards?
Crushed him.
I mean, that you don't see that happen to Brad Seabrook very often.
No.
He was rattled.
He messed with Taves. Bickle got hit and had to go back to the locker room for several minutes. I mean, they took a beating.
They did, and it's not going to stop. So, I mean, that's the deal. It's the Blackhawks' skill versus the Ducks' size. But it's not like the Ducks aren't super skilled, too. By the way, I think you should...
Ducks don't skate as well as the Hawks, though. They don't.
No, and puck possession, first and second period, Blackhawks were basically dominant. Which is why, I mean, talking to different experts and even the Blackhawk fandom after yesterday and into this morning, everyone seems very confident. Hey, play that same way in game two, control the puck that much. Patrick Kane's fine in the back of the net. That was a miracle save by Freddie, and you outplayed him. It just, you know, it's the game of hockey. But we'll
power play was a big problem. We'll get into that. We'll talk some basketball. Mark, obviously, the NBA guy for fansided.com, as well as working here. We'll get into it because I'm a huge Tom Thibodeau fan. Always have been, always will be as a coach. That said, I just don't see how this partnership of the Bulls and Thibs can coexist. I don't care if Jerry Reinsdorf comes down from on high. It won't matter. It won't work. We'll talk about it. Wintrust loves good rivalry. Who doesn't? I know I do. Here in Chicago, we've got one of the best there is. Cubs versus White Sox. North side versus South side. Blue versus black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago, and decide for your side with a Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit card. I actually have both, so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. How cool is that? Plus, cheer for your team tweeting or Instagramming with hashtag DecideCubs or hashtag DecideSox. When you choose, either online or in the bank, you'll help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online, see whose fans are cheering the loudest, and learn more at Wintrust.com/YouDecide. Banking services provided at Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox, trademarks used with permission, member FDIC. Jeremy and Champagne, we'll get to you. We'll get to more calls. 312-235-2525. Hawks trail one zip in the series. Back at it tomorrow. You'll get it on WGN and postgame on Comcast Sportsnet as well. And we will talk some Bulls. It's all coming up. It's Cap'n Haw, Carmen for D-Haw, who will join us from Cali in a little bit.
It's Cap'n Haw.
They're a dangerous team. All four lines can score. All four lines have speed. They attack team, and they push the pace. And you know, they're not just a cycle team. They're dangerous off the rush. So I think no matter who's on the ice, they're capable of making plays, and we got to be aware of that as well. I thought we generated all four lines of offense when we had our moments, but we didn't cash it.
Well, we weren't very good in the first period, and, you know, we got lucky a few times that they didn't score a couple goals, but I thought we made a couple of adjustments and we played better in the second and third, but I think I still don't think it was our A game.
Joel Quenneville and Bruce Boudreau, head coaches of the Blackhawks and the Ducks. Ducks up 1-0 in the series. Back at work tomorrow night, and you can get the post-game coverage with Pat Boyle and the guys, Jamal Mayer, Steve Conroy, on Comcast Sportsnet, and of course you get the game on WGN Radio. Jeremy in Champaign. Let's grab Jeremy's Blackhawks call. 312-235-2525. Jeremy, what's going on there, Sparkles?
Hey, not much, guys. You know, I kind of thought going into last night, the Hawks having 10 days off, there was going to be a little bit of rust. But I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of rust. But I still think, seeing the way they dominated that, the majority of the game, they're going to go in, watch some game footage on Anderson, figure out his tendencies. And I don't think they'll lose another game in this series, honestly. I think they're going to steal one tomorrow and then go back home. And I think they're going to take the series in five.
Boy, you are an awfully optimistic person. I don't see that. I do think it's going seven. So
it's going seven?
That's what I think. I don't see the Hawks winning the next four. I don't. Hope you're right. I don't
Me
see
too.
That. I don't see that. Thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate the call. 312-235-2525. Look, the Hawks are immensely talented. Immensely. And they're going to look a lot different next year because they're going to have to move some guys due to the salary cap. That said, this Anaheim team is the toughest test they've had in a while.
Yeah, to say the Blackhawks are going to win in five, even for the most – I'm shocked that guy actually exists. I feel like most Hawks fans are – optimistic ones, six games. You get one game here, and then you maybe win out at home and lose game five. But this is the best team in the Western Conference. And you can look at it however you want to play yesterday, that there was tons of opportunities, and the Blackhawks had great puck control and the whole deal. But you got a hot goaltender. You got some really good players out over there.
And they're big and mean.
Yeah, and their top line didn't do anything yesterday.
They took liberties to hit the Blackhawks as much as they could. Hawks, again, I thought outplayed them for two periods. They didn't get caught up in that chippy nonsense, but that stuff puts a beating on you.
Right, and they took only one penalty, which was good. You didn't get mentally, you know, you didn't lose yourself in the game and give them an advantage they didn't need. But on the other side, you know, the third period, and Q talked about it, he wants at least momentum off of the power play. Well, I mean, you got back-to-back power plays in third period yesterday, and you did nothing, which is not anything new for the Blackhawks in the playoffs, but that wasn't great either. And Freddie Anderson, you got to be a little bit nervous that you might be running up against a hot goaltender right now.
It's one game.
Yeah, he's been pretty good in the playoffs, though, and Freddie's talking all kind of. I think you got to have a moment where you kind of break Freddie. Get into the Freddie head if you can.
Like you did with Devin Dubnyk of the Minnesota Wild.
Exactly. Now, you do that, it could be a steep...
Because people felt coming into that series, how are we going to beat Devin Dubnyk? And the Hawks had their way.
And you know, once they got him, he was done. This guy, I mean, this is his second year in the league. And he was a backup last year in the playoffs. He was one of three goaltenders playing. So,
I still believe the Blackhawks' undoing, if they don't win the Cup, will be their lack of depth defensively. I've said it the whole playoffs. I thought it half the season. I saw 31 of the 41 home games. I mean, I just don't think they're good enough defensively. And to give up, if you win this series and get to the final, you will have paid the price of two number two picks for Kimmo Tiiminen. You're telling me that you couldn't have gotten somebody better than Kimmo Tiiminen if you're willing to part with, in the deals that they gave up, let's see, a number one and Klaus Dahlbeck to get Vermette. They gave up Ben Smith, a nice player, to get Desjardins. That worked out to be a pretty good deal. And then they gave up, it looks like, a 2 and a 3 if they get eliminated this series, or 2 twos to get a guy who hadn't played in 10 months, dealing with blood clots. I just can't believe they couldn't have got a better defensive player.
I was shocked on the broadcast.
Like Andre Sekera of Carolina, who was traded to the Kings, I believe.
If you're going to go through every possibility, the bottom line is they got rid of Nick Leddy, who had a great season and would look awful nice right now, and you ended up getting Brad Richards for him, who, yeah, scored yesterday, but it wasn't a great year for Brad Richards. That deal, I mean, it wasn't a deal, but basically that's the choice that you made, right?
Agreed.
And, I mean, they're missing Nick Leddy right now, there's no doubt. A little puck control out of a Nick Leddy, who wouldn't want to have that? But that does, I don't know, Cappy. You still got four pretty good defensemen. You just got to piece it together. Maybe you play Kimmo more. I was shocked in the postgame. They told me, I can't believe they're not using Kimmo. Maybe they should, but shocked? Two blood clots, 40 years old? I mean, how much are you going to run him out there? 10 minutes, Kimmo?
You get another 3-4 minutes out of him, it's enormous. Roosevelt played 17 minutes a game. For as much as people harped on that guy, he was a key piece because he let other guys get some rest. And he wasn't awful. He wasn't great.
And when you were on the Bourbon Trail last week, we had Judd in here who was singing Roosevelt's praises. Eddie was saying the same thing.
Roosevelt was a way more valuable player than people realized.
Right. I mean, he was getting killed, but now you see that, actually that guy was helping you.
He was. 9 a.m. hour sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics in Glenview. Shop where we shop. ABT. And when you go there, you ask for our buddy, Steve Shapiro. Apt.com. ABT.com. Apt.com. Take a time out. We'll get to Bob and Jim and Magoo. Get to those calls and talk some Bulls because Carmen and I have completely different perspectives. David and I have completely different perspectives. We'll get into all that coming up on Cap and Haw.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
Rundblad near corner. Pounded with a body check from Palmieri. Coughed up the puck. Thompson put it in front. Palmieri shoots and scores!
I want to be on the ice when they score, obviously, but I think defensively, you know, you can look at the plays and, you know, we want to make sure we're making safe plays and quick plays and easy exits. And, a couple of those could do differently. But, you know, not an easy start, first playoff game. And hadn't played for an extensive period.
The David Rundblad screw-up that led to a goal and Joel Quenneville's thoughts after it. The highlight courtesy of WGN Radio and the great John Weideman. 312-235-2525.
He was awful nice on David Rundblad there. He just didn't want to bury him to the media, which...
No, he'll bury him in the locker room or in a one-on-one meeting.
I thought an interesting tidbit that was thrown out on the broadcast yesterday, that Q and Boo, I'm calling him Boo, Brucey Boo.
Boudreau.
They played together in the American Hockey League 1978-79. They were teammates. And apparently, Boo lost to Q playing cards. Q was taking it to Boo. Q greater than Boo.
Interesting.
And they also were, they played, I guess, at the Maple Leafs together, too. So, a little, Boudreaux looks like just like a guy that should be doing your taxes or something, right?
He just looks like he'd be a fun guy to hang out with.
You think he looks like he's fun?
Yeah.
The Boo?
Mike dealt with him. He loved him. Said he was great.
Great Boo?
Oh, he was fantastic. I actually sat and, well, he polished off a lot of wings one night after a remote broadcast. I was hosting the postgame show, and he's a great guy. The players love him. He's very much a player's coach. He's very involved, ask how their families are doing. You know, Q's a little more standoffish, you know, in terms of his players. I mean, his players like him, but he's not that close with them. Boudreaux knows everybody's, you know, wife's name, their kid's name. I mean, he's a special guy. He does not like talking to the media that much, so right now he's probably not the happiest guy in the world, but he's fun. He's definitely a lot of fun, and he likes his four-letter words, let me tell you. Really likes those four-letter words.
That's funny. When I watched 24/7 when he was the Capitals coach,
oh,
yeah, that, phenomenal.
That's basically what it is. Yeah, practice sounds just
right,
like that.
Let's go to the phones. 312-235-2525. Bob's in Sandwich. He's first. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, it was nice to hear Q give compliments to Rundblad, but we all know with him on the ice for those first two goals, he's going to lose confidence in him in a hurry. And that he had to burn a timeout in the second period because Jalmerson was keeled over. You can't rely on four guys if this thing's going to go a long way. What do you guys think if we take one of our offensive players like a Kruger or a Hossa who's not scoring much and just have them play defense? They're smart enough. They're, you know, able to skate and play this game long enough to figure it out. I mean, it's a lot better than just going with four guys. We're not going to go a long way this tourney with just four guys.
I don't disagree, and Bob, appreciate the call. That has been my biggest concern going into the playoffs, even with Roosevelt healthy, that they had 4.5 defensemen.
A little too out of the box, though, for me. You're not going to take Marian Hossa off the top line and make him a defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even engage with that. That's ridiculous.
And they're not going to – there's
See, let's take a 36-year-old Hall of Famer and change his position in the playoffs. Come on.
I mean, that does speak to the desperation that some Blackhawks fans are feeling.
One game, relax. R-E-L-A-X.
Right, but you're a nervous defenseman guy over there. See, I feel like you got just, listen, suck it up.
You can. I do not believe they can win the Cup with four defensemen. I don't. I've maintained that. It's not Monday morning quarterback. I said this before the playoffs started.
Maybe
didn't have enough depth.
Well, maybe Rundblad will play better. He can't play any worse, right? I'm pretty
or
sure.
Maybe, or maybe Kyle Komiski gets the call. Or Steven Johns. Do you bring him up? I don't know. 312-235-2525. Jim's in Indiana. James, good morning.
Good morning there, Cap'n Hall, or Cap'n Carr, I should say.
Carm, yeah.
What's Carm up, Jim?
D-Hall, join us at 940.
And Quinville, we trust. He's won a lot of cups. You know, don't panic yet. The Cubs. I like them, too. But
so do I.
You know, it's like, you know, they said St. Louis is going to pound the heck out of them too. You know, and they go down when they go down two, and look at the Wild did to them. They know they're going to take a pounding, but their speed and that, they will get back. Don't, you know, everybody panics. I didn't like yesterday either, but don't put it on Rundblad either because he was not everything. They cycle good, and they were doing pretty good. They outshot him. How often see Kane hit a stick? You know.
Yeah, that, I mean that was a phenomenal save. Jim, have a good week, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, pal. Yeah, the save by Frederick Anderson on Patrick Kane was sick. Give him all the credit in the world. That was a phenomenal save.
And it was a phenomenal move by Kane. He just, I guess,
waited, and then fired and thought he had the back of the net and got deflected up over the cage.
And if that puck goes into the net, the whole outlook of the game
totally has changed.
Totally different. That was the momentum setter right there. I mean, how many shots did the Blackhawks have? 16 on them
in the first period? Right.
16-7.
One of those goes in. I mean, we know how important that first goal in a playoff game is. Totally different mindset.
Different game.
Let's throw one other thing out there, too. But Blackhawks haven't trailed in a playoff series all season. Relax. They were down 2-0 to the Blues last year. They were down 3-1 to the Red Wings 2 years ago. One game down,
Last year they lost the first two games in St. Louis and then won the next four.
Right.
So
7-game series.
Yep. 312-235-2525. Tom in Evanston. Hey, Tommy, good morning. What's going on there, Sparks?
Hello, good morning. I wanted to talk about the physicality of the game. I think that had a lot to do with how the game was determined. I couldn't believe that hit on Seabrook behind the net. He really got hit. And it was I'd never seen a game where guys are lying all over the ice after those checks. So I think physicality had a lot to do with it.
Did you not feel like watching that game that every time they got a chance to hit a Hawk, they not only hit him, they made sure a little extra elbow here, a little extra shot there, as hard as they could. The Hawks were not like that.
No, the Hawks weren't like that at all.
That's not who the Hawks are, and I'm not saying they should be. They just have to be able to handle the physicality because they're going to take a beating over the length of this series. Tom, thanks, buddy. Have a good week, pal.
Thanks.
Along those lines, too, Ryan Kesler.
He's a monster.
He's a monster, and he was all over Jonathan Toews.
I still want to know what we would have had to have given up to get Ryan Kesler because his two choices were the Hawks or the Ducks.
He looked pretty good here.
Can you imagine Ryan Kesler here? Huh. That would have been awesome.
You'd rather have Ryan Kesler than Antoine Vermette, perhaps? No shot at Vermette. It's a different level player.
Yeah, different level. Let's see, Magoo and Glenview. Hey, good morning there, Mr. Magoo. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up with you?
Nothing. Hey, it looked like the Hawks were a little rusty. You know, the 10 days might not have helped them. And I think, was it Kesler that tripped Crawford going to the bench? You know, but my question is, how do they light a fire under Rumblatt? You know, can Duncan Keith, the other defenseman, do it? Or does Quinville got to kick him in the rear end? You know, because you got to stick with this guy. He's young, but, you know, maybe he can learn real quick. What do you
guys? Well, I don't think it's lighting a fire under him. I think the guy hasn't played in the playoffs. I mean, this is a whole different world for him.
Magoo,
how do you light a fire? You know, can Duncan Keith get this guy in the locker room and say, hey, man, you got to do this, you got to do that, let's go.
If it was that easy, it would all be about coaching. You got to have A, the skill level, B, the mentality, C, the experience. He's got none of that.
Well, maybe they should put Darling as a defenseman.
Oh, my God.
Take the pads off and let him just stand in front of Crawford.
All right.
You know?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Magoo. Have a good week, buddy. All right, so we've got Hossa moved. We've got Darling moved. You've got to be kidding me.
Listen.
One game, people.
You ever listen?
Why don't we put Toews on as the sixth defenseman, too? Is that the call that's coming next?
Why don't you make Corey a defenseman and make Toews the goalie? That's the next call.
Five times.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Five times in the Western Conference Finals in 7 years, two cups. I still wonder at times whether this phenomenal hockey city actually knows how to talk about the sport of hockey. Myself included, by the way. But that what? Darling to defense. Oh, so what else we got? There's some other beauties out there.
There'll be some other beauties. Again, we'll go to California, talk to David Haw in about 5 minutes. He's out there for the first two games. Tom in Dyer, Indiana. Hey, Tommy, what's going on there, Governor?
Hey, get all these people off the ledge. My God, this is unbelievable. This is one game. The one thing that the Blackhawks do really well is they assess what a team is doing to them, and then the next game and the game after that, they counteract it. The thing, I mean, everybody knows that Anaheim is a physical team. This is not unfamiliar territory for the Blackhawks. Believe me, they've faced tougher teams than Anaheim. They've faced St. Louis, and they've faced other teams that want to take their heads off. The one thing the Hawks do really well, they pass, they move their feet. Anaheim's defense is not fast by any stretch of the imagination.
Agreed.
The one thing you're going to see the Blackhawks do tomorrow night, they're going to chip the puck in behind them and beat them to the puck. That's the one thing the Hawks did well yesterday. And once they got in Anaheim's zone, Anaheim could not catch them. And that's the thing that the Hawks do well. They do little things really well. To me, the Hawks outplayed Anaheim yesterday. Did Anaheim outhit the Hawks? Absolutely. You're right, Cap. That is not the Hawks' specialty, that to blast guys into the boards. That's not what they do. The Hawks almost play a game of, here, come in our zone and hit us. That's what we want you to do. You come in here and blast us against the boards. But when you hit us, you're going to be out of position, and in two passes, we're in your zone, and the puck is behind your goalie. Once the Hawks do that in this series, it's done. This series is done in five or six games. It's not going seven. Hawks are going to win this either four in a row or four out of the next five. They're going to take it.
Appreciate the call. Have a good week, Tommy.
Take care.
See you, bud.
He's spot on as far as puck control. I mean, the Hawks had the puck at least 60% over the course of the whole game, maybe even more than that in the first two periods. But you're talking about just dump it in and go get it. It's not just speed. They're going to get super physical with you, too. It's not going to be just a race. It's going to be, can you get around their physicality?
All right, we're going to California in a moment.
Is that your pillow?
Yeah, it is. I got to tell you what happened. So I did not take my MyPillow with me to Bardstown, Kentucky. We stayed at the Hampton Inn.
Great, great hotel chain. I can't believe that they allowed you in there.
Let me tell you something. My neck was so stiff, the worst pillows ever.
How can you do Hampton Inn like that?
Their pillows.
I mean, it's not a MyPillow. I get it. Bad pillows?
Oh, my goodness. And I said to my wife, we're leaving. Hey, grab the pillows off the bed. We're taking your Jeep. It's not like we got no room. Take the pillow. She's like, not taking the pillows. The pillows will be fine. Okay. Get to the hotel. I get into bed, and I go, okay, these pillows suck. They're the worst. Brutal. Brutal. Should have had my pillow.
What a pain in the...
Between this show, Sports Talk Live, Cubs pre and post, at Comcast, I work a lot of hours. But for the few hours I get, it's important for me to get deep, restful sleep. Didn't get that in Kentucky, and I've never slept better now that I sleep on a MyPillow. Got back to a good night's sleep last night. First night you sleep on one, you'll understand why they sold over 5 million. Three-piece interlocking fill conforms to your preferred shape. Four different support levels guaranteeing you the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Guess what? Right now, 60-day money-back guarantee, 100% of your purchase price if you don't love them. But you're going to love your new MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code CAP, K-A-P, for 50% off. Or call 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com or 800-299-5854. Promo code CAP, K-A-P, 50% off. Trust me. Good to be back.
Hold it
with
up,
you, buddy. There it is, right there, my pillow. Take a time out. D-Haw's next.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Hey, how you doing, Hug?
All right, welcome back, Cap'n Haw, right here on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN+. The Haw part of it is enjoying the warm climes of California as he covers Blackhawks and Anaheim Ducks. Mark Carman sitting in David's seat for him. Doesn't have the cool Beats headphones on, but D-Haw joins us now from his hotel. Good morning, Mr. Haw.
Morning, Cap. Morning, Carm.
Morning, David.
All right, so are you at all concerned about the lack of depth the Blackhawks have defensively?
Well, I think yesterday, I mean, they certainly exposed, you know, a player making his NHL debut, you know, David Rundblad. That wasn't the only reason they lost, but it certainly was magnified that he was a guy that was prone to making mistakes. And you can't get around that. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, when their stars don't score and when they don't get the type of offense they've gotten previously in the playoffs, then the things they don't have become more obvious to notice. And yesterday that was David Rundblad. That was trying to beat a Ducks team that's very good with four defensemen. And that's going to eventually catch up with you. And it doesn't mean you're going to lose the series, but it does mean that you did lose that game partly because of that. That was a big factor.
David, do you think a change is coming, or do you think you'll see Rundblad out there in game two?
I think you'll probably see him out there in game two. I mean, you know, we can speculate and wrote and ask and all sorts of things. And, you know, Joe Quenneville did not sound like a guy that was ready to make a change. I don't know how many good options there are. I mean, Kyle Komiski is a guy that was a healthy scratch. He's got some playoff experience, very limited. But, you know, it's not exactly like he's the answer. Steven John's a guy that Eddie had mentioned, I think, Friday on the show, I think got injured at Rockford last night or over the weekend. And so, you know, you have the situation that it is. I mean, Michael Roosevelt has never felt more needed in a Blackhawks lineup. But and that reminds people to maybe have a little more perspective when you're criticizing a guy like Roosevelt, because that's why Q values his experience, because of days like yesterday. I think they're going to stick with the Rundblad and give an opportunity. I guess in fairness, you have to remember that he had not played in a month either. So I know, as much as Blackhawks would like him to take the next month off too, he is a guy that you have to give the benefit of the doubt and hope that he can play better, because it would be very difficult for him to play worse.
Watching that game yesterday, I felt like Anaheim is not as impressive a skating group as I thought they might be, but boy, oh boy, are they physical. I mean, every time they got a chance to get a hit on the Hawks, it was almost like Bruce Boudreau had said, hey, I want you guys to make sure after you hit them again. Elbows, knees, drive them into the boards, make sure they pay a price.
Well, they're definitely impressive. They're deep. They're big. You know, I thought they skated well enough. I mean, they're not on the par with the Hawks in terms of speed, but I do think that they are fast enough and quick enough to make it less obvious the disparity. These aren't the Wild or the Predators, and I think that was obvious, you know, from watching yesterday's game. I mean, certainly the Hawks controlled the pace and the tempo and the puck more times than not, and this was a game that they, you know, look very familiar when it's played on their terms. But this isn't a team that really is going to be just happy to be at the Western Conference Final level. They will make you pay for your mistakes. They are physical. And when their top two lines aren't performing and they still win by virtue of their secondary scoring, that tells you that this is a team with the type of depth that you know you're this far in the playoffs, because they can win when they get very little out of their top lines.
Well, speaking of that Ducks confidence, David, I mean, I'm sitting there watching Freddie Anderson step up to the podium. He talks about, hey, we know we can win this, and Ryan Kesler said the same thing. I'm wondering, when you're sitting there right in front of him and he says that, did it kind of catch you like, whoa, that's a pretty confident statement there, Frederick? I mean, how what were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking there's my lead. You know, I was thinking there's a situation where you don't hear a goaltender. I guess goalies are kind of a quirky bunch, but it just spoke to the type of confidence and belief that this team is on a mission, and they believe that they aren't done yet. And as much as we like to believe in Chicago, or maybe it's just me or whatever, that the Hawks are, you know, the team to beat, and they are here to, you know, take care of unfinished business from last year when they lost to the Kings at this level, that the Ducks feel like, even though they weren't, you know, playing for revenge to avenge last year's loss or anything like that, that they belong, and they're not going to go away easily, and they're not intimidated by the Hawks. And the Hawks tend to have this sort of hold on teams like the Predators and the Blues, and they're in the head of the Wild. But I just don't sense that same sort of aura that intimidates or affects the Ducks, because Bruce Boudreau is the kind of coach that isn't really intimidated easily. And I think that this team, you know, with Ryan Kesler kind of taking the lead and Corey Perry being sort of the jerky self that he can be, I don't think that they are ready to back down or are fazed by the Hawks' greatness, if you will.
Right.
Talking to David Hoff from Anaheim. He will be there for tomorrow night's Game 2 as well, and you can read him in the paper this morning. We'll get to a little Bulls with you in a little bit, but what was your take on Corey Crawford's outing yesterday? He wasn't great. He wasn't bad.
Well, it wasn't bad, but, I mean, again, he didn't have a ton of help in front of him. The Hawks have to figure out what you know, how much belief do they have in Kimmo Timonen? And I think that's a big factor in this series, because here's a guy who's, you know, they gave up two draft picks for. He played 5 minutes yesterday. And not that this is, again, if the Hawks were fixating on their fifth to sixth defenseman, because, you know, when they don't have the type of scoring that they typically get, these types of things become issues. But Timonen's a guy that I don't know if they don't, if he can't be trusted or they just won't trust him. But it's a matter of, you know, when you have a guy on your roster who you did give up something to get, you have to see what you have. And maybe they've seen enough, but and maybe he's playing just because of desperation. But the defense in front of Crawford, you know, was okay. You know, giving up the goals, it ends up 4-1, but it was an empty netter. And I think that he has to he wasn't as comfortable and as strong maybe as he had been previously in the playoffs. Of all the players, maybe he was the one that showed maybe a little bit of rust, you know, besides Rundblad. But I think that you don't really come out of game one questioning Corey Crawford. I don't, at least I didn't.
Interesting that you were able to slip in the table was the best player on the ice a couple times. Yes.
Carm, stop it. You know, you get in there, you got your little Twitter fun. I'm in for D-Hall today, and I'll try to prop up Tavo because that's the man crush.
Well, you did. You put it in the you put it in the column. He was the best player, and he was. He had that. He had the fancy play on the boards. Here's a real question for you along the lines. Because Q started messing with the lines yesterday. What do you think he maybe props Tavo up or anything like that?
He may. But listen, objectively, Tavo was at times the best player on the ice.
I agree.
He was. He was doing some fun things. He was, you know, you talk about a guy and you're not being fazed by your surroundings. This is a kid who's playing in his first, you know, Western Conference Finals. He's somebody that steadily has been progressing during the playoffs. He was benched early, or at least, you know, he taken off the ice for experience reasons, and it wasn't great against Nashville. But I think that you've seen in the Wild Series, and again yesterday, just his capability. And didn't happen a lot. It might have been only a couple shifts, but, you know, Joe Quenneville did introduce the idea of Tavo, Kane, and Taves, which is not a lot of physicality on that line, but certainly a lot of skill and a lot of speed. And I think that there are times in each postseason where Joe Quenneville will resort to these types of emergency, you know, line combinations that make you think and represent sort of the urgency of the situation. And maybe that will be something we see again, and maybe it won't. But I think that Tavo showed yesterday that he belongs too, and it wouldn't be surprised if he breaks through with the goal because he has been active and he's fearless. And I think he's playing like a guy that feels like he's going to, you know, make a difference in this series.
I felt the Blackhawks were a far, far more talented team. Not physical, not as big and strong and tough as Anaheim, but in watching the speed and the skill level, I think the Hawks are clearly the better team. They just has to translate into goals. What in the hell is going on with the power play?
Yeah, I think, you know, they've got a little – it's the same familiar problems, you know, with the Hawks and the power play. I mean, they had 3 power plays and 5 shots, and they become too kind of cute, and they become too sort of impressed with making the extra pass, and their entries are poor, and they kind of get out of sync, and then they never kind of regain it. The Ducks have a lot to do with that as well. I mean, plus, you know, Anderson is your best penalty killer too, because he's a guy that, you know, made the good saves when they did get a shot on goal. But you just have to give them credit at this point of the season, because they had a layoff too. You know, it wasn't as long as the Hawks, but they were rusty as well. They were playing at home and they had something to, you know, defend, and they want to make a statement. They had all those screaming people and all those orange towels waving, and it was a great atmosphere for a hockey game, and they, you know, fed off of that. So, you know, when they were having to kill a penalty, I think that they rose to the occasion. The Hawks were, you know, too much of a finesse team. And I don't know that the disparity is as great between all their skill and speed, you know, maybe as you saw, Cap. I mean, I think that they're pretty close. I mean, they're closer than any team that they've played to this point. And this is probably the best team they've played. You know, the Kings, obviously, last year, they were in a class amongst themselves. And I think the Bruins in 2013, then you go back to maybe the Flyers in 2010. But the Ducks are for real. And I would be shocked if they go away in this series or if they, you know, are anything but the complete team that we saw yesterday.
All right, we got to grab a timeout. We come back. Let's talk some Bulls, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll come right back to David. He is in California, covering the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll get back to him. It's Cap'n Haw, Mark in for David. This is CSN and WGN Plus.